Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Faithfulness. Faithful praisers don't stop praising God.
There is a word from the Lord today as we continue this series, The Power of Faithfulness. Let me also just throw and give a shout out to Sister Janice Young, who's a part of our worship and arts ministry. Well, we thank God so much for her. This is the fourth of six messages that God has given us on the power of faithfulness. And on this special Sunday, God has given me a special message, particular message to encourage those that work so hard in worship and arts. And thank you for all that you do. A very familiar, iconic Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, and 3, the New King James Version. Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, and 3, hear the reading of God's word. I will bless the Lord. When, church? At all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you from this two-part subject in the series, The Power of Faithfulness. The message this morning is faithful praisers. Now here's the second part. This is the part I need your help. Look at somebody and says, don't stop praising God. Look behind you, tell somebody, don't stop praising God. Clap those hands as you take your seat. For the past three weeks, we have talked about the power of faithfulness. Our first message of this series simply said, steadfast and unmovable. Came back the next week and shared a message with you that was entitled Faithful in the Little Things. And then on last week, God gave us a message that challenged all of us. And that message was faithful fellowship. Don't give up on the church. And now this, which is our fourth message, which happens to fall on the Sunday in which we highlight the importance and the significance of worship and all that worship entails. We would like to, on today, discuss the importance, I need you to catch this, of remaining faithful in our praise to God, regardless of what we may be going through. Look at someone that says, be faithful. Keep your praise. Don't ever lose your joy. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Through many dangerous toils and snares, that we have already overcome. We've got to remember it was God's grace that has brought us thus far. Grace that will carry us on. To remain faithful, to be faithful in our praise to God. Now, to those of us who are faith walkers, to those of us who are believers, worship to us is not an option. It is a necessity. May I say that again? Now, to some timey believers, faith walkers, you worship when you feel good. Worship when things are right in your life. But to those of us who have made up our mind, come hell or high water, trouble in our way, had to cry sometime, laid awake at night, but that's all right, because we know Jesus will fix it after a while. To those of us, worship is not an option. It is a necessity. We get up and worship on Sunday mornings, not just because we feel like it, not just because we are in a good mood, but we know that we owe God a praise. For the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Scripture goes on to say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side. Now, to those of you who made it on your own, to those of you that your resume was so sufficient that your own credentials helped you end up where you are today. But to those of us who did not necessarily graduate magnum cum laude, but oh, Lordy, I made it. To those of you who had to just, you had to squeeze to put food on the table, clothes on our back. To those of you who've been through difficulties, but you're still standing, look at somebody and say, worship is not an option. It is a necessity. Somebody ought to know that they're sitting next to a faithful praiser. And you are obligated to praise God because you remember all that God has done. Now listen, I understand and it is understood that in this life we will go through times of sorrow. It is understood that in this life we will go through disappointments. We will go through times of hardship. However, as difficult as these experiences may be, they should never, I need you to help me, look at somebody and say, they should never be excuses for us not to praise God. Your head hurt, so what? Your back hurt, join the club. You had a rough week, stand in line. Amen. But they should never be excuses for you not to praise God. I know that there are those who praise God when things are good in their lives. I recognize and I have seen those who praise God when everything lines up right in their lives, when everything falls in place in their lives, but somehow they seem to lose their praise when the situation shifts, when things are not going their way. Perhaps the best example in all of Scripture is recorded in Psalms 137. In Psalms 137, it says, and by the rivers of Babylon, we wept when we thought of Zion. And they who held us in captivity required of us, said to us, can you sing us one of the songs of Zion? And these worship leaders and these praisers who knew how to praise God in Jerusalem, but could not praise God in Babylon. Ooh, I feel like preaching. I know I've got to be somewhere at 2 o'clock, but I just need to preach this. Ask your neighbor, can you praise God in Babylon as well as in Jerusalem? Jerusalem represents when things are right, when things are good. Babylon is a strange land in a strange place among strange people. Can you still praise God on your job in the midst of demons and devils? Can you praise God in a dysfunctional family? Can you praise God sitting next to somebody who hadn't clapped their hands in 3 years? Can you praise God when you just think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for you? Can you praise God in a strange place? Elder Bill, I preached this sermon when you were worship leader, and y'all did a song after the sermon called Save Your Best Praise for Your Worst Days. Now, anybody know how to praise God on your good day? But I just want to make sure I'm in the right place. And I just want to make sure I didn't wake up this morning and fall and show up in a nightclub. And people dance in a nightclub when it's hot and it's right and the music is tight. But when you're in a church, the music doesn't have to be tight. It doesn't have to be right. All you need is a thought about what God has done for. I just want to make, maybe I'm not in the right place. Am I in the right place? Look at somebody and say, neighbor, all I need is one thought about where the Lord has brought me from and what God has done for me. Thank you, Mother Mazzoli, Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Y'all got 10, 20 seconds to give. Y'all just. Woo! Look at somebody and say, neighbor, God has been too good to me not to praise him. Y'all picked the wrong Sunday to sit by me. You picked the wrong Sunday to sit next to a praiser. Because when you show up in church and you sit next to a faithful praiser, they may scream anytime. They may clap their hands anytime. Young Brother Green and Brother Watts, those young guys up here, I love them when they're on the stage. They just jump and shout. I said, Lord, have mercy. My brother-in-law, Deacon Wiggins, said, I wish I can jump like that. I said, maybe 40 years ago. But since you can't jump like they can, if you can't say a word, I'll just... Everybody in here that God has made a way out of nowhere, just wave your hands in the air. Just tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am a praiser. And praisers don't need much to praise God. I even know how to praise God over what he's going to do. Faithful praisers praise God in advance over what you expect God to do. Y'all got 20 seconds to praise God over what you expect God to do. I don't have to see it or feel it, but I believe it is on his way. Oh, watch out before church breaks up. In this incredible text, Thank you, Holy Ghost. Psalms 34, in this incredible text, David shares from his own personal experience the importance of being a faithful praiser. You've heard me say over and over again that before you can understand text, you have to understand context. You have to understand why he wrote it, when he wrote it, and where he wrote it from. It makes a difference. In 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22 puts Psalms 34 in context. Let me help you out. David, who had been chosen by God, anointed by God, but not yet king, because everybody can't celebrate your success. Although David was the personal musician of King Saul, Saul for a time was his mentor turned on him. Jealousy is crueler than the grave. Why did Saul turn? Chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, even the enemies of David understood this. Because one day as King Saul and David returned from battle, those who witnessed and had a parade for their victory made up a song. And the song went something like this. Saul may have killed his thousands, but David killed 10,000. And because Saul's jealousy could not allow him to celebrate what he and David had done, he turned on David. And from that moment on, he sought to destroy and kill David. David, preach, Pastor Jackson, can I preach this? Having been anointed, now found himself running for his life. Why? Because the jealousy of someone who wasn't yet ready to let go wanted to stop David's blessings. But how many of you know that no jealous spirit from the pits of hell can stop what God has for you? I just need a handful of folk that know what God has for you, it is for you. That's why I tell young people all the time, and one of the things that I feel Dr. Bustles that God has given me at this stage of my life is to encourage young people that they don't have to be manipulative backstabbers. They don't have to tear somebody else down in order to get to where they think they ought to be. Just wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and God will strengthen thy soul. How many of you know that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? David understood this, and David, who had killed Goliath, he had the ability and the capacity to destroy Saul. But as opposed to fighting against his mentor, he fled. And he had nowhere to go. And this is where 1 Samuel chapter 21 comes in. And the Bible says that David fled to the territory of the Philistines. Now, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to know that the Philistines were not his allies. Because Goliath, the warrior of the Philistine, David had destroyed and humiliated all of them. But he found himself in a place of refuge for the moment into the land of the Philistines until they recognized who he was. And some of the folk, the leaders, said to the king at Gath, he says, "This is David. This is the one that they said killed his 10,000s. David was in trouble. So in the end of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says David played crazy. Some of y'all play crazy all the time, okay? And nobody's after you, okay? David says, you know what? I got to find a way out of here. So the Bible says, I'm not making this up, the text says that David became, in his own mind, a madman, and he began to dribble all over himself, stretch the walls, until the king of the Philistines said, we got enough madmen already. Get rid of this David. And so as opposed to killing him, Elder Lovey, he exiled him and kicked him out of the land of Gath. And now David had nowhere to go. Get the context. He ended up, chapter 22, 1 Samuel, first two verses, he ended up in a cave. Can I preach? No palace. No royal throne, no entree of well wishes. David, running for his life, ended up, it says, and it names the cave of Adullam. David ended up in that cave. Look at it, Adullam in a cave. Why was that important? Because that was a cold, dreary, drafty, dangerous place to be. But when you know that God is on your side, you know wherever you end up, God will take care of you. Can I just need to preach to somebody who finds themselves between a rock and a hard place. And the enemy is telling you to give up. Tell the devil he's a liar. You will not give up, because wherever you end up temporarily, God will take care of you. So David is in the tomb of Adullam. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 says, and he went down there in that cave, and when his father and his mother and his family saw how bad off he was, this is the father who had rejected David. But he saw his son's condition. They went, and here's what the Bible says. This is what I like about 1 Samuel 22. If you stroll down to verses 2 and 3, here's what God did. David had no army. But do I have time to preach this? Please put 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2 on the board. Thank you, upstairs. And David, God says, you just go and I'll send you folk to make up your army. Now, God didn't send them Marines. God didn't send them folk from the army, Pastor Lawson. God didn't go to Fayetteville and Fort Bragg or Fort Sumter and send David first-class citizens. God said, David, I'm going to help you form an army. And he formed an army of 400 people. Look who made up David's army. All of those in distress. Everyone in debt, everyone who was discontented, they get, in other words, he got the rejects. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. David, I'm going to make up an army for you, but I'm not going to send you first-class citizens. I'm not going to send you Sergeant First Class. I'm not going to send you Colonel Carlos Mays. I'm not going to send you Pastor Lawson, decorated veteran. I'm going to send you folk that are distressed, in debt, and discontented. How many of you know that whoever God puts in your circle was meant for you? Can I preach to somebody in here? Y'all are still doing your best to invite certain people in your circle. And God say, I have never intended for them to be a part of your circle. I know you want the who's who and the first class and the VIP and the bougie elite. And God say, that's not your circle. Oh, help me. Can I preach to somebody? Oh, look at your neighbor, say, that's not your circle. Stop wasting your time trying to get in somebody's circle that don't want you. God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Just send me somebody who's willing to live in a cave and fight for the Lord. Is there anybody in here willing to fight for the Lord? And if God be for you, woo, may I preach? Can I preach? It would have been so easy for David in the cave of Adullam to say, I give up on God. I didn't ask for any of this. God, you anointed me, and now here I am living on the outside of the land of the Philistine, living in a cave with 400 discontented, in debt, distressed folk. What are you doing for me? But David understood that if God brings you to it, can I preach? Look at somebody and say, if God brings you to it, God can bring you through it. What David never lost, he lost his home, he lost his house, he lost his friend, he lost his father-in-law, King Saul. But what he never lost was his praise. Can I get a witness? How many of you have been through ups and downs, knocked down, turn around, but you still have your praise? How many of you had a rough week last week, but you still have your praise? Don't fool me, but how many of you been through something that you can't even talk about, but you still have your anyone can praise God in a sanctuary. Anyone can worship in a worship center. But I'm wondering, can you worship in a cave when folk are out to destroy you? When you don't know if your lights will be on when you go home this evening, can you worship not knowing what's going to happen in your life? Think of one bad moment in your life and say, God, you still deserve my... Can you do it? Will you do it? Take a moment, take a moment. Think of your worst moment. Think of the hardest thing you have ever gone through. Think of your most difficult situation. And you say, Lord, you still deserve my praise. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't judge me by how I look now. You don't know the story behind this dress up. You don't know the story behind where I am now. Everyone that has a story behind your testimony, that God has done something good for you. You owe God the next 20 seconds on your feet, clapping your hands. Twenty more seconds. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to do it. So, from a cave, David writes these words. Look at your neighbor and say, from a cave. Not a sanctuary, not an ivory tower, but from a cave, David writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. From a cave, shake your head at your neighbor, say, neighbor, from a cave, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I want to leave you with these three key insights, these three key takeaways from David's word that you can take out of the door with you. Number one, David started out by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. A personal affirmation. Affirmation is a positive statement to challenge negative thoughts, a boost of self-esteem. You've got to hold your head up high and personally affirm the fact that I will bless the Lord. What you say matters. Look at your neighbor and say, what you say matters. If you say you can't make it, then in all likelihood, you will not. If you say nobody wants you, then nobody will. If you say that you are nobody, then you are. But if you affirm, Job 22, if thou shalt declare a thing, it shall come to pass. Is there anybody who wants to affirm and declare that I will bless the Lord at all times? Say it. Say it. Say it. Even if you don't feel like it. Wake up in the morning and say, I will bless you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord. Mother Jackson, hold your back and say, I will bless you, Lord. I will. Why? Because listen, praise is a decision, not a reaction. I've decided, Elder Conwell, that I'm going to praise God. You don't have to make me praise him. Nobody has to push me up. I've decided when I woke up this morning and it was pitch dark outside and I was getting ready to come preach my first of three services, I had decided in my mind when I got up in the dark that I'm not going to waste my time and get up and not praise God. Who am I talking to? Choir, you've been here since 8 o'clock. My heart goes out to you. Thank you so much. When you do all you do, you've got to praise God. Can I get a witness? Everybody out in the audience who made up your mind that this is the day that I will praise God, today, you owe God a praise right now. Look at somebody and say, make a decision to praise God. Because if your praise is based on a reaction, it all depends on how the choir sounds. It all depends on how you feel, how Pastor Jackson preached. But when your praise is not based on a reaction, I don't care who preach. Forrest Gump can be up here preaching, and I'll still praise God. Bonnie Fife can be up here. Gooba can preach, and I'll still praise God. Can somebody give God your best praise? Because it is all about who God is and what God has done for you. Here's the second key takeaway. Because I want to get to the part where we're going to change the atmosphere. Praise is a pledge of consistency. In David's word, he says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Consistency means that our praise remains stable, reliable, regardless of our situation or circumstances. My money situation does not impact my praise. Whether or not I can pay my bills does not impact my praise, because there's somebody in here that know how to praise God broke. if I'm feeling good or not does not impact my praise. Amen. A faithful praiser is a consistent praiser. I don't praise God every other third Sunday. I don't just show up and things are right in my life. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, I hope to see you next Sunday, same time, same place. Because if God was good this week, he certainly will be good next week. Amen, somebody? That's a consistent praiser. And here's the third and the final takeaway as you rest upon your feet. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I have a special invitation with your name on it. Come on, tell somebody there's an invitation with your name on it. Here it is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Find you somebody and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Faithful praisers invite others to praise God with them. Find somebody and say, you picked the right Sunday to sit by me. The word magnify, put it on the board. The word magnify means to make God big in the eyes of those around us. Can we make God big? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. Somebody's about to make God big. He's a big God. He's a Savior. He's a Redeemer. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. When we praise God together, we shift. Together, we shift the atmosphere. Chains break. Hearts are lifted. Faith is strengthened. Here we go. When we praise God together, something begins to shift. Come on, musicians. Put your hands together. Favor, leave your seat, give somebody a high five and say shift, shift. In the balcony, something is about to shift. Leave your seat and come here. Come on, y'all.
Praise him.
Come on.
Praise
come
him.
On.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
Shift.
Praise him.
Something.
Clap your hands.
Something in your life is about.
Praise him. Clap your hands.
I need something in your life to shift. I need you to leave your seat, don't even think about it, and crowd up this altar. Fill it up. Come on and praise. Something.
Oh, praise him. Praise him.
Something.
Praise him. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands.
Shift. 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 Shift.
Praise him.
Shift.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise
him.
That he may not make it. Now look at him dancing.
If you've been through what I've been through, you will be dancing. I've been through, you will be dancing. If you've been through what I've been through, you will be dancing. Hey, if you've been what I've
something
been
is
through,
about to shift.
You will be dancing. See, you will be dancing too. You
come on.
Too.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Too.
Let us exalt his name
you
together.
Will be dancing too. You 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 will be dancing too.
Come
you will be dancing.
Hold on, Regina. So the doctor said he may not walk straight, and in all likelihood, he won't be able to stand up on his own, and he probably can't walk on his own. But what the doctors didn't know, that not only can he walk, he can run, he can dance, he can jump, and he can leap. Come on now!
somebody say shift, shift.
Lift those hands all over this place. Something in your life this week, God just dropped this in my spirit. I'm talking to somebody. Something in your life this week is about to shift. Something in this life with your name on it is about to shift. Whew. And all you've got to do is learn how to praise God. The last point I made was this: when we praise the Lord together, we shift the atmosphere. Little Tony Green, I told you his story because it's such an example of never giving up on God. Don't give up on your child. Don't give up on your career. Woo! Don't give up on your business. Don't give up on your family. Something is about to shift. Lift those hands all over this earth. Shift. Shift. I'm right there for a moment. Greater is coming. Greater. Do that, team. Just change it up. Change it up for me. Ooh, greater is coming. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, but God told me, greater is coming. Come on, Sister Francis and others. God just told me to drop this in right now. This wasn't planned. Francis is here. Greater. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Bill. Sometimes you got to be obedient to the will of God. Because I feel a shift. I feel God's doing something right now. Thank you. God, come on. Y'all give them mics. Get the one for Christy, Bill. Get them, y'all. Come on. God told me to drop this song for the altar. We had something else planned. Ooh. But the rest of the service is about deliverance. And y'all listen, I've got to preach somewhere else at 2 o'clock. I've got to go preach somewhere else at 2 o'clock. But God said, don't you rush this. Because there is deliverance at the altar right now. Come on and tell us, Francis.
If it had not been for the shaking, I would never be ready for the making.
Had not been for the shaking.
If it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew how anointed I would be. pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. But he's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me for greater. I feel a shaking in the spirit.
I feel something in the spirit. Yeah, yeah.
I feel a beating in the spirit.
Same, same, Francis, yeah.
I feel a pressing in the spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's preparing me for greater. I would have never, if it had not been for the beating, I would have never knew.
God's preparing you right now. He's prepared. I feel God doing something right now. Yeah. Do it, Lord, right now. Yeah, yeah.
Greater is coming.
Look at somebody, say it's coming. Yeah.
Greater is coming.
Tell somebody it's coming. Yeah.
Greater is coming.
Ah.
Can we say greater?
Greater is coming.
Woo. Yeah.
Greater is coming.
Greater is coming.
Yeah. How many of you know that
it's
greater?
Coming.
Greater is coming.
Your
person.
Father God, we come before your presence this day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for your grace. Lord, if it had not been you on our side, Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we come faithfully before you, God, praising you, Lord, not because of, but in spite of, oh God. Lord, in spite of what we may be going through, in spite of all the challenges in life, Lord, we speak, we decree, and we declare in the name of Jesus that greater is coming, oh God. Bless your people, oh God. Touch them, oh God, with your spirit, oh God. Strengthen them for the journey that lies ahead, oh God. In the name of Jesus, anoint their souls, oh God. We speak greater, greater blessings, greater healing. Greater anointing, greater, oh God, in the name of Jesus, let your presence fall upon us, oh God. Let your presence saturate us, oh God. Lord, as we lift our praise to you, oh God, we know that your blessings will come down. Now move, oh God, on the hands of every person under the sound of my voice, here physically and here virtually, oh God. Bless them as they go forth from this place, oh God, and let the greater come before them. It is in Jesus' name we give you honor, glory, and praise. And if you believe that, let every heart say amen. Let every heart say amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise as you go back to your seats. And if we have anyone here, as you're going back, if we have anyone here that would like to give their life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Amen, church? Now is the time, as the water is stirring and God's Spirit is moving. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. Will there be one? Amen, amen. If not, as we're going back to our seats, amen, if you will indulge just for a few more moments.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road. And now on YouTube, our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled, The Power of Faithfulness, Faithful Praisers Don't Stop Praising God, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 102625. Again, the number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 102625, Sunday, November 9th at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. Come celebrate with us. Bible Way Church of Atlas Road's 62nd Church Anniversary and 29th Pastor's Anniversary. Invite your family and friends to join us for this life-changing and uplifting worship service. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve. Oh.